House, please come to order. I apologize for the delay. I think that's the first time that there's been a quorum and not me. Would members please indicate their presence by voting? Any member fail to vote? Madam Clerk.
30 members present.
We have a quorum, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Kukish has previously been excused from the call of the House today, and Representative Massey is excused due to illness.
Record will so reflect without objection. We have joining us again this morning, Pastor James Brubaker of the Faith Lutheran Church. Would members please stand for the invocation.
We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are at times exhausted and worn. So many times it seems the challenges are just so overwhelming. But you have promised us through the prophet Isaiah that even though we may grow tired, even though we may stumble or fall, that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Renew us this day with your strength so that we may soar like eagles and not grow weary or faint in fulfilling the responsibilities with which the people of this state have entrusted us. We thank you this day for the freedoms we enjoy in our land. As leaders of this great state, by your grace, may we always be vigilant in guarding and protecting these wonderful blessings from you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again, Pastor. Representative Kapsner, would you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that that very appropriate prayer be spread across the journal.
With no objection, that prayer will be spread across the journal. Would the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 114th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House journal, as certified by the Chief Clerk, be approved.
Without objection, the journal is certified. Do we have guests this morning for introduction? Nobody visiting today. Do we have messages from the governor?
I have no messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the other body?
A message dated May 12th stating the Senate has passed the following and they're transmitted for consideration. CS for Senate Bill 32, Finance Amended by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Making and Amending Appropriations and Reappropriations, Making and Amending Appropriations under Article 9, Section 17C, Constitution of the State of Alaska from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund and Providing for an Effective Date.
Will be referred to Finance.
CS for Senate Bill 155, Finance, by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Methods of Payment of and Reports Concerning Certain State Salaries and Business Expenses.
Will be referred to State Affairs and Finance.
CS for Senate Bill 169, Finance, by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Missions and Measures to be Applied to Certain Expenditures by the Executive Branch of State Government and the University of Alaska from the State Operating Budget for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2000, and providing for an effective date.
That, too, will be referred to the Finance Committee.
Senate Bill 171, amended by Senator Halford, entitled An Act Relating to the Release of Certain Records and Reports Required by the Department of Fish and Game Regarding Fish, Shellfish, or Fishery Products, and Reports of Fish Buyers and Processors Relating to the Transfer of Land to the State and Providing for an Effective Date.
Will be referred to the House Special Committee on Fisheries and Resources.
I have no further messages from the other body.
Do we have communications?
I have no communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees?
The Judiciary Committee has considered House Joint Resolution Number 23, Community Development Fund, PFD, Budget Reserve, recommending do not pass, James and Green. No recommendation, Kurtula, Murkowski, and Croft. Amend, Roekberg, and Cott. The report was signed by Cott Chair. House Joint Resolution 23 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 185, Small Water Utilities Exempt from APUC, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 185, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, recommending do pass, Roekberg. No recommendation, Halcro, Harris, and Cisna. The report was signed by Roekberg Chair. House Bill 185 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 219, Rules Against Perpetuities, recommending do pass, Cott and Roekberg. Do not pass, Green. No recommendation, James. A zero fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by Cott Chair. House Bill 219 has no further referral. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Bill 226, Credited Service for On-the-Job Injuries, recommending it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 226-S, with the same title, recommending do pass, Green, Morgan, Dyson, Coghill, Whitaker, Kimplin, and Bryce. A zero fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by Dyson and Coghill co-chairs. House Bill 226 has a further referral to the Labor and Commerce Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 3, Repeal of Regulations by Legislature, recommending do pass, Cott and James. No recommendation, Murkowski and Green. The report was signed by Cott Chair. Senate Joint Resolution 3 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 4, Finance, Office of Victims' Rights, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 4, Judiciary, with a new title, technical title change, adopts a Senate Letter of Intent, recommending amend, Roekberg. No recommendation, Murkowski, Green, James, and Cott. The report was signed by Cott Chair. CSS before Finn has further referral to the Finance Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 8, Finance, Minimum Required Plumbing Facilities, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 8, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, recommending do pass, Harris, Sisson, Roekberg. No recommendation, Halcro. The report was signed by Roekberg Chair. CSSB 8, Finn, has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 11, Judiciary, Prison Time Credits for Murderers, attaches an indeterminate fiscal note and a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass, Cott. No recommendation, Murkowski, Green, and Roekberg. The report was signed by Cott Chair. CSSB 11, Jude, has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 45, Finance Amended, Landowner Immunity, Right-of-Way Vacation, recommending do pass, Kurtula, Roekberg, James, Cott, Green. No recommendation, Murkowski and Croft. The report was signed by Cott Chair. CSSB 45, Finn Am, has no further referral. The Rules Committee has considered Senate Bill 74, Same-Day Airborne Hunting, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 74, Rules, with the same title, recommending do pass, Porter, Green, Caldery, and Cott. No recommendation, Berkowitz and Jewell. The report was signed by Caldery Chair. Senate Bill 74 is on today's calendar. The Finance Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 134, Well Regulatory Cost Charges, recommending it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 134, Finance, with the same title, attaches a fiscal note, recommending do pass, Mulder, Foster, Davies, no recommendation. Terrio, Osterman, Bundy, Williams, Coring, Davis, Grusendorf. The report was signed by Terrio and Mulder, co-chair. CSSB 134 rules has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
The conference committee considering committee substitute for Senate Bill 33 Finance and House CS for Senate Bill 33 Finance amended House contracts for performance of certain state functions previously performed by state employees. Respectfully request limited powers of free conference on the composition of the Commission on Privatization and Delivery of Government Services. The report was signed by Senator Halford, Chair, Senators Pearson, Elton, Representatives Caldery, Ogun, and Bryce.
Free conference will be granted on the items indicated in their request.
I have no further messages or special committee reports.
Introductions of resolutions or citations.
Citation honoring Kasira Cox, Geography B champion by Representative Masick. Honoring David Hepler and Daniel Hepler, Eagle Scouts by Representative Masick. Honoring Alaska Boys and Girls State by Senators Lehman, Phillips, and Ellis and Representative Murkowski. In memoriam, Lynn Frank Sopi by Representative Osterman and Senator Mackey. In memoriam, Henry James LeGru by Representatives Osterman and Senator Mackey. In memoriam, Ethel Louise Peck by Senator Tim Kelly. I have no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Bills for introduction.
House Bill 234 by Representative Roachberg, entitled An Act Related to Construction of a Legislative Hall.
Will be referred to State Affairs and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
It brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. The first bill on today's calendar without objection will be rolled to the bottom of the calendar for consideration at that time. With that in mind, would the clerk please read the next item on today's agenda? Read these. Would the House please come back to order? Would the clerk please read the next item on today's agenda?
House Bill 92 by Representative Davis, entitled An Act Relating to Municipal Taxation of Alcoholic Beverages. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered the bill, attached an indeterminate fiscal note and 2-0 fiscal notes, recommending DuPass, Jewel, Harris, Murkowski, Morgan, and Kukesh. No recommendation, Dyson and Howcrow. The report was signed by Howcrow, co-chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommending DuPass, Mulder, Bundy, Davies, and Davis. Do not pass. Coring and Foster. No recommendation. Terrio, Osterman, Grusendorf, and Williams. The report was signed by Terrio and Mulder, co-chairs. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 92 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Without objection, we are in third. Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final reading?
House Bill 92 by Representative Davis, entitled An Act Relating to Municipal Taxation of Alcoholic Beverages.
Under discussion, Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 92 has been in the hopper for a while. It's a relatively simple bill in what it does. Currently, the state government restricts the amount of taxes that municipalities can impose on alcohol. This just lists those restrictions. The current restriction is municipalities cannot tax alcohol unless they have a sales tax, and then they can only tax it at the sales tax level. User fees are considered sales taxes. If a municipality has a bed tax, a hotel, a rental car tax, that's considered a sales tax. Should a municipality want to adjust their taxes on alcohol, it relates, as it indicates, it's a sales tax, so it must go before the voters of that municipality. So that's what this legislation does. It reduces the restriction that the state government puts on municipalities. It offers municipalities the opportunity to raise additional fees to services that they have to pay out related to alcohol. The alcohol problem around the state requires, and oftentimes increases the services, the amount of police, the amount of sleep-off centers, hospital and medical costs. So I think this is right for state government to get out of the business of trying to restrict municipalities' taxation authority, and I'll certainly answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Davis. Any further discussion? You ready for the question? Question before the body. Shall HB 92 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
31 yeas, 6 nays.
And so, HB 92 has passed the House. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's agenda?
House Bill 167, by Representative Calderi, by request, and Representative Coring, entitled An Act Relating to Mobile Home Dealers. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 167, Labor and Commerce, with a new title attached to zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Harris, no recommendation Murkowski, Sisnes, Sanders, and Bryce, amend Roeperg and Halcrow. The report was signed by Roeperg Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 167, Labor and Commerce, with the new title, recommending do pass Mulder, Coring, Osterman, Williams, and Foster, no recommendation Bundy, Davies, Grusendorf, Moses, Davis, and Terrio. The report was signed by Mulder and Terrio, co-chairs. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Labor and Commerce substitute for House Bill 167 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, that committee substitute is adopted. Are there amendments?
I have no amendments on my desk.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 167, Labor and Commerce, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is objection. The bill will receive, will remain in third reading and appear on the calendar tomorrow. Or will appear in third reading on the calendar tomorrow. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's agenda?
Senate Bill 74 by Senator Pete Kelly, entitled An Act Relating to Hunting on the Same Day Airborne. The Resources Committee considered the bill, recommending do pass Ogun, Sanders, Harris, Barnes, Morgan, and Whitaker. No recommendation Kapsner. The report was signed by Ogun, co-chair. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 74, Judiciary, with the same title, having no recommendation James, Amin, Murkowski, Green, and Cott. The report was signed by Cott, chair. The Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 74, Rules, with the same title, recommending do pass Porter, Green, Calderi, and Cott. No recommendation Berkowitz and Jewell. The report was signed by Calderi, chair. I have two committee substitutes on my desk.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 74 be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Rules Committee substitute before us. Are there amendments?
Amendment number one by Representative Davis to page one, line four.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number one.
Without objection, amendment number one is passed. Are there any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 74, Rules, amended, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
There is objection. This bill also will appear on tomorrow's calendar in third reading. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's agenda?
House Bill 212, title amended by the House Judiciary Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Confidentiality of Certain Information Related to Attorney General Investigations of Unlawful Trade Practices and Antitrust Activities. We're in third reading.
HB 212 will be returned to the Rules Committee. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's agenda?
House CS for CS for Senate Bill 3, Finance, entitled An Act Relating to the Crimes of Murder, Solicitation to Commit Murder in the First Degree, Conspiracy to Commit Murder in the First Degree, Manslaughter, and Criminally Negligent Homicide, Relating to Homicides of Children, Relating to Registration as a Sex Offender or Child Kidnapper, Relating to the Crime of Interference with Custody of a Child or Incompetent Person in Providing for an Effective Date. We're in third reading.
Under discussion, Representative Cobb.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a product of a long and arduous number of meetings in just the other side as well as our side here. It's a very similar bill. It's a very similar bill that was introduced by the third floor and also very similar to the one that passed the other side last year and ended up in our House Rules Committees, our House Rules Committee for a variety of reasons. Mr. Speaker, what this bill does is it adds a new form of first-degree murder when the death of a child results from the commission or attempted commission of kidnapping or sexual offense. It expands the list of offenses constituting felony murder to include sexual abuse of a minor in the first and second degree. It adds a new form of second-degree murder when a person causes the death of a child with criminal negligence and has a previous felony conviction. It elevates criminally negligent homicide from a Class C felony to a Class B. It establishes a 20-year mandatory minimum sentence for a person convicted of a murder of a child under the age of 16. It increases the mandatory minimum sentence from 5 to 7 years for manslaughter when the victim is a child under the age of 16. Mr. Speaker, it also establishes a new sentencing provision which allows for a term of unsuspended imprisonment that exceeds the presumptive term, again, for certain felony offenses if the victim is under the age of 16. Mr. Speaker, it also elevates solicitation of murder to an unclassified felony, which basically brings that in line with the crime of conspiracy. Mr. Speaker, why are we doing this? Well, I think in recent studies that I have seen, maybe many of you have also reviewed, it's been acknowledged that homicide is the number one cause of injury and deaths to infants. Mr. Speaker, infants and toddlers who cannot defend themselves are the ones that are shaken. They are thrown about and consequently battered to death. They are probably what I would call our most vulnerable people that are most important to society. Mr. Speaker, there's been a number of cases around the country in which parents or those in responsibility for the welfare of a child or for person under the age of 16 have committed various heinous crimes which have resulted in the death of these children. Mr. Speaker, furthermore, that in many of the jurisdictions from the East Coast to the West Coast, including the state of Alaska, the perpetrator of this crime have spent very few days in jail for the commission of that crime. Mr. Speaker, it was only a very short time ago that a mother was sentenced, or a person that was responsible for the welfare and daycare of a child was sentenced in an Anchorage court, which ultimately will allow for that person to be released in 5.5 years. Mr. Speaker, there's cases in Delaware which one person was sentenced for the commission of crime resulting in the death of a child to 2.5 years. I think all of us probably have read recently about the prom mom. Her sentence is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 years. Mr. Speaker, the list goes on and on. I think that we here, as a legislature and as a society, need to establish a firm stance against the various crimes that I've been mentioning, and to ensure that those individuals who commit those crimes are at least put away for a certain number of years, more than what I've mentioned on some of the examples. Mr. Speaker, this is a product, again, of cooperation between the Department of Law, between the sponsor, between the third floor, and I believe between various members in this body, and I would urge everyone to stand up for the kids and to support this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cott. Representative Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'm going to support this bill, but this, as I've thought about it and I've heard it in committee and we've discussed it, there's been something that's been troubling me about it. And it took me a while to put my finger on what it is that's bothering me. And I think I finally figured it out. I think that this bill is appropriate. I think that this bill will go some measure to establishing some more rationality in the way we charge criminals. But the thing that troubles me is I don't believe that this bill will go very far, if anywhere, in terms of reducing these crimes from occurring in the first place. We're concerned, we're saying, okay, we're going to stand up for children. If we really wanted to solve the problem and stand up for children, we would do something that would prevent these crimes from occurring instead of just focusing on providing appropriate punishment for those people who perpetrate the crimes. And, Mr. Speaker, there are ways to do that. We've seen the development of a lot of research. There's been a lot of research in why people perform violent acts. And I really am troubled by the fact that we spend an inordinate amount of our time focusing on punishing people for performing these acts, and then the concomitant expense of the courts and the jails and all that goes along with it. And we don't spend enough time and energy and money, in my view, in preventing them from occurring. And I am absolutely convinced, Mr. Speaker, that we could significantly reduce the number of these crimes if we were to focus on those areas of prevention that are out there and available to us. So, Mr. Speaker, I'm going to support this bill, but I'm going to do it with a very heavy heart, because I don't believe it really will help reduce the number of these crimes. And I believe that we have mechanisms where we could do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Davies. Representative Bergwitz.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And after we pass this bit of legislation, I will be like everyone else here. I will bump my chest and go back and tell my constituents that we've been tough on crime. It's time for us to start getting smart on crime. In a way, I'm echoing the comments of the previous speaker. We can't continue to pass laws that are simply tough on criminal acts after they occur. We have to do something to intervene. We have to start paying for those intervention programs in order to save the cost of incarcerating people for the long haul, in order to save the cost of people being victimized by criminals. I would suspect that some of the dissatisfaction with some of the sentences that were mentioned might have been alleviated had we contributed adequate resources to the investigation and the prosecution of those crimes, which would allow the police and the prosecutors to get the evidence necessary to get a sentence that this body, with its somewhat subjective perspective, would consider appropriate. But we keep passing these Band-Aid bits of legislation in an effort to be tough on crime. Writing tough statutes is only one small part of a successful anti-crime package. Mr. Speaker, you know that, and I know that. We've worked in the field. You need to do everything from prevention to policing to prosecuting to prisons. There is a bit of legislation further down the calendar that talks about what we should do once we get people in prison. All of this fits together. We continue to piecemeal our approach to anti-crime strategies. We need to have a more comprehensive approach. And with a more comprehensive approach, I think we can go a long way to making the state a lot safer.
Thank you, Representative Berkowitz. Representative James?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I didn't plan to rise and speak anything on this piece of legislation, but the previous two speakers have reminded me that on this House floor is the best place to lay out your political philosophy. And I believe that I need to do that for myself now. I certainly am very, very supportive of preventive measures. I think we need to do more in the area of prevention in all cases of social issues where people who are vulnerable are misused. But the other issue in my evaluation of what we can do to be sure we have less misuse, less domestic violence, less alcohol-related abuse, and people even on welfare programs that causes our budget to grow is to be sure everyone has a job. Now, on the other side of that, we've never been promised a rose garden. We will never be able to stop crime totally. We'll never be able to stop all of these heinous things that are happening to our folks. I think we do have the obligation to continue to work towards that as a goal. But we couldn't spend enough money in the whole wide world to be absolutely sure we would close the door to all of these terrible things that happen to our people. Certainly, there is good merit into the previous speaker when said we need prevention and we need to be sure that we have the police and we have the court system and then we have the penalties place for them to pay for these things. And we do have some obligation, I believe, in the long term to do some fixing of these people's minds and bodies so that they don't continue to go out after they're excused from this penalty and go out and do the crimes again. We do have that obligation to the public while we have them in our custody. But the money is the issue, and money only goes so far, and we only have so much. And so we need to strike a tight balance with that. And with every ounce of effort that we have, we want to be sure that there is good-paying jobs for those people who want to work, because when they're busy working, Mr. Speaker, all of these other things become insignificant, and they don't have time to do those things when they're busy making themselves a living. So to add my little two bits to the philosophy of this piece of legislation, I'm going to vote for this piece of legislation. I'm not voting with a heavy heart. I'm voting with a conscience that says, yes, we need to be sure that these people are punished for these heinous crimes on these vulnerable folks, and particularly our small children who have no one to look after them except the adults.
Thank you, Representative James. Read it easy. Would the House please come back to order? Did we get 133 yet?
Okay, great.
Further discussion of SB 3. Representative Bundy?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly concur with some things that have been said here that prevention is many times easier, more cost-effective than punishment. However, in my research, I have not been able to discern that some of the things that have been tried for prevention, self-esteem classes and anger management, are productive, are effective. And so while we continue to search for these preventative methods that are both cost-effective and productive, in the meantime, I think it's also essential that we, as a society, set a standard of what we consider acceptable behavior. And we would hope that laws like this would never have to be used because they've set a standard. And while I can't guarantee anyone that this will prevent
a single tragic death for the first time. I can promise that people prosecuted under this will undoubtedly not commit the crime a second time.
Thank you, Representative Bundy. Representative Bowman?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Been a lot of deep thought gone into the debate here today, and I appreciate that. You know, I last week had the opportunity, or a couple weeks ago, had an evening free and went to see a movie with my good friend from Representative from Wasilla. And I found the movie profoundly disturbing. And the movie was named Matrix. And I thought maybe it was the genesis of the Columbine shootings because there was some guys in black trench coats armed to the teeth that go in this very graphic scene of, you know, shooting things up and all that. But more important than that was the underlying message in it, and that was that our lives are controlled by this, we're actually some kind of controlled by computers, and that our lives are an illusion and it's meaningless and the normal routine that we're going through is all, and that these guys were going to destroy all that. But it sent a message to our young people that the things that we value and we hold good and dear are really just an illusion, that we need to destroy it. And I walked away from that just very profoundly disturbed that, you know, that, and I guess the point of the debate is that until the hearts of men are changed, the value of life and the things that are good and what our country has founded on and that we're not going to, this is simply reacting to a situation. And I'm going to be voting for it. I think it's appropriate, but until we have a sense of outrage of what's going on and how our young people's minds are being ripped off from us by the entertainment industry and by those that would say that evil is good, and then this is going to be another futile effort, I'm afraid.
Representative Tyson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to confirm to everyone that this bill is largely the same as the content that came out of the Governor's Task Force on Child Abuse that I participated in two summers ago. And we took it out of what became House Bill 375 because this similar bill had originated on the other side and was making its way through the process. And it did indeed make it all the way to the last few minutes of our last session this time last year. And so it has, in concept and virtually in detail, has been through large, long, laborious process for two sessions, and I certainly encourage its passage. And then just to some of the comments earlier, certainly we need to do more. But somebody that's in jail is little likely to be hurting a child, and there is that public safety thing. And then from my brief experiences in jail, I can tell you, I came away with a commitment of let's not do this again. And it was a significant restraint on my future behavior. And I believe it is for people who do longer terms in jail. And that disincentive to continue hurting kids is valuable. My first foster son came to us when he was 12 or 13, and he had already done 70 burglaries. And I came home one night, we'd been gone briefly, to find my children barricaded in the bathroom and his kid going around the house destroying everything he could with nunchucks. And I have a paddle, it's about 2 foot long, and I explained to him why it was being used and how. He said, "Beating me doesn't do any good. I've been beat by monsters, I've been beat with 12-2 electrician's wire and 2x4s. All it does is make me angry, and I'll just hate you all the more." And anyways, my wife explained to him that the experience he was about to have would help him find the self-control the next time he was tempted to go off and start hurting people. And we had an interesting wrestling match, and the deal was get 3 hard ones after you quit fighting me, and everyone I can get in the meantime. And he and I have been very close for 16 years. He has never again been violent. And never was in our house, and he ended up sobbing in my arms
with his face buried in my shoulder, saying thanks.
Thank you, Representative Dyson. Representative Kemplin?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'm going to vote for this piece of legislation because I think it is something that is needed in our society. But I rise to make a few comments in response to some of my colleagues' observations. And really the key issue, I think, is it is prevention, and it's prevention in the early years. We have research now that has come before us that has shown the impact of abusive parenting on the brain development of human beings. My colleague from District 25, he suggested the best way for an individual to learn how to control their impulses is increased discipline and to more control of their of their will. And indeed, that is one of the traditional, I think, to a certain extent, proven methods of exercising that self-discipline and self-control, among others. But also, now, Mr. Speaker, the latest brain research has shown that by the way we care for our young children helps shape their brain, and that if we provide them with nurturing a family environment, if our parents nurture our children, the brain develops differently. And it develops differently by the creation of neurons, Mr. Speaker, that controls impulses. And I think that when we're looking at where do we want to invest our money, do we want to invest our money after the fact, after they cannot control their impulses, I would suggest that it would be a better investment. We would receive a higher rate of return on our dollars to invest it at the beginning of one's life, in our 0 to 5 years and in good prenatal care. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Kemplin. Representative Cotrulla.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to support the legislation, but I want to make one comment, and that is hitting your kids doesn't help. Spanking is a sign of losing control. There are better ways to deal with children, and I'd encourage any parent out there to use them. Before you think about hitting your child, think about the many ways you can take a time out and do something that will help rather than hitting your child. Thank you.
Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, me, myself, like I think everybody on this floor looks, is going to vote for this bill. I'm going to support it. However, I cannot do that without expressing my dismay at, my sympathy for, and my apprehension of a legislature and a society that it can increase penalties for mothers who destroy their children after a certain date, but continues to allow, condone, and support and pay for abortion if it's done before that date.
Thank you, Representative Sanders. Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'm very strongly in support of this bill. It harkens back to the very first term that I had as a freshman on this floor. I happened to carry the legislation that for the first time added to the murder one degree penalty, terror, torture, and abuse where there's a pattern or practice of abuse on a child. And as I look through this, that's the reason I took that ease. I wanted to make certain that those elements of elevating someone who would kick a child to death, for example, and then move on to another home with another woman, perhaps, and conduct the same kind of hideous penalty on another child, should have to pay more than just a simple few years in prison. And the way you get the time to get these guys locked up and away from other children is by putting them into this murder one category here. And this bill goes one further and recognizes the current recognition, and that is that child abuse and many of these terrible new penalties and kidnapping of a child and then causing the death of that child, those ought to be penalties that cause more than just a few years in prison or a tap on the wrist. They ought to put you away for 20 years, and that's why it's in this provision, and I support the bill.
Thank you, Representative Benson. Any further discussion? Senator Bogan?
Hesitate to rise again, but I, with all due respect to my good friend from Juneau, you know, I think corporate punishment to children when you're angry is certainly destructive, but I think appropriately applied is very appropriate and constructive. I have a little brother-in-law that's was very young when I don't want to get too personal here, but we had him for a while. He was kind of heading down the wayward path a little bit, and I volunteered to take him, and he and I had a little go around too. And you know, to this day, I mean, every time I see him maybe a couple times a year, he thanks me for doing that. And quite frankly, you know, I mean, it was done in love and it was appropriate, and it taught. And what he says to me, he says, "You taught me respect." And it about brings tears to my eyes every time he tells it to me. I mean, it's just like, I mean, he really, and he's got his life straightened out, and he thanks me for it every single day. So I think just a blanket, "Well, never spank a kid," is not appropriate. This debate has really strayed from the bill, but I think it speaks to the heart of why we're here doing this. And so this one.
Any further discussion? Ready for the representative Todd in wrap-up? Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In wrap-up, I wholeheartedly agree with the speakers from District 13 and District 19. I think prevention is an important ingredient to the mix when we deal with any criminal activities and the subsequent laws that we end up passing and the programs that we initiate here in the legislature. Will this bill reduce the types of crimes that we don't want to see committed against children? It's hard to say. I would say probably not, even though I would hope they would have some effect on it. Mr. Speaker, the heart of the issue for me is the issue dealing with the value of life. Mr. Speaker, in the case that I referred to in Eagle River, the child daycare worker, I believe, received 20 years with 20 years suspended, and it was the comments from the judge, I believe it was Judge Souter, who indicated that she should be eligible in 5.5 years. And of course, there would be probably, I think, 10 years probation time that would also be tacked on. Mr. Speaker, in her particular case, the infant was crying, it was bothersome, so she slammed the kid, head against the wall or against the floor, and the child ultimately died. Would this bill help her? Probably not. It wouldn't prevent her from committing that crime. Is there any degree of action or preventative measures that we can take that would assist her? In this particular case, I doubt seriously. Mr. Speaker, I think there are some circumstances, some cases that warrant punishment that exceeds what I believe are the current sentencing patterns that are implemented by the judges. I would hope that members would support this and recognize that not only are we dealing with the issue of prevention, but I think we also are dealing primarily and specifically in this particular bill, the issue dealing with the value of life. So, Mr. Speaker, I would urge members to support, and I would ask that the committee secretary or the secretary hold the roll open for cross-sponsors. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Cott. Are we ready for the question? Question before the body. Shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for SB 3 Finance pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
37 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, HCS 4CS 4SB 3 Finance has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 3 Finance be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date is adopted. Without objection, I'd like to ask that we move back up the calendar to standing committee reports. Madam Clerk.
The Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 133, Rules Amended, Regulatory Commission of Alaska. Recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 133, Finance, with the same title. Adopts the House Finance Committee Letter of Intent and two fiscal notes. Recommending do pass Terrio, Mulder, Coring, Osterman, Davies, Williams, and Foster. No recommendation, Bundy and Grusendorf. The report was signed by Terrio and Mulder co-chairs. CSSB 133 rules AM has no further referral. I have no further standing committee report.
Returning to calendar, would the clerk please read the next item on today's agenda?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 11 by Representative Dyson relating to substance abuse treatment for offenders in the criminal justice system. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the resolution attached to zero fiscal note recommending do pass Morgan, Dyson, Coghill, Kemplin, and Bryce. The report was signed by Dyson and Coghill co-chairs. The Judiciary Committee considered the resolution recommending do pass Croft, Murkowski, Tertullo, and Cott. No recommendation, James and Roseberg. The report was signed by Cott Chair. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Discussion. Representative Dyson.
Thanks for your support.
We have had a considerable amount of discussion in this topic area. Representative Berkowitz.
Just very briefly, you know, a friend from Eagle River is passing so many bills, I think he should change his name to Norm. But I would point out that 80% of crimes in the state are drug or alcohol related, and this type of measure would be a step in the right direction.
Further discussion? Representative Davies.
Mr. Speaker, it would be even better if it were attached with some funding.
Representative Jerry L.
Mr. Speaker, could the prime sponsor of the bill please tell me what culturally appropriate substance abuse treatment is?
Representative Dyson.
No. Obviously, we have a diverse population. Some areas of our state are have high concentrations of people from that are culturally very similar, and I think we have made some good steps and are doing well. I think of the treatment center in Bethel at trying to make the treatment appropriate to the cultural and ethnic background of the people that are there, and kind of different strokes for different folks. And I think it's an attempt to tailor the treatment to fit the people that are taking it. And I suspect there's some folks here who could probably speak more knowledgeably than I. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Dyson. Further discussion? Ready for the question? Question before the body. Shall HCR 11 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Will the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
38 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, HCR 11 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's agenda?
House CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 8, Judiciary, relating to the 2000 decennial United States Census and to the development of redistricting data for use by the state in legislative redistricting. We're in third reading.
Under discussion. Is there any discussion? Representative Logan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief. No applause? Oh. this resolution simply asks the feds to conduct a physical head count of the population and not use sampling or other statistical methodology. Every time there's a recount or census done, it's always ripe for litigation, and we would just like an accurate count done and hopefully avoid the courts on this issue.
Thank you, Representative Ogden. Representative Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, by avoiding any kind of sampling techniques, you will ensure that it will be inaccurate. And what we know is that it will probably be inaccurate in the way of undercounting ethnic minorities and relatively poor people. So if that's the goal, this is a good way to get there.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Question before the body. Shall House concurrent House Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 8, Judiciary, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
25 yeas, 13 nays.
And so, House Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 8, Judiciary, has passed the House. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's agenda? I'm sorry, Representative Rupert.
Speaker, I'd like to give reconsideration, notice reconsideration on SDR 8.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on SCR 8. Representative Lippert.
Mr. Speaker, you have notice of consideration on Senate Bill 3.
3.
And 8.
On both 3 and 8, reconsideration notice has been given. Madam Clerk.
House Bill 85 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor entitled an act related to licensure and professional discipline of members of the teaching profession and providing for related penalties relating to grounds for dismissal of a teacher relating to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission relating to limited immunity for procedures under the Educator Ethics Act, making conforming amendments and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the bill, recommending do pass, Dyson and Whitaker, no recommendation, Green, Morgan, and Coghill. The report was signed by Dyson and Coghill co-chairs. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 85 Judiciary with the same title, recommending do pass, Croft, James, Cott, and Curtula. The report was signed by Cott, chair. Finance Committee considered the bill, recommending be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 85 Finance with the same title, recommending do pass, Coring, no recommendation, Terrio, Bundy, Osterman, Davies, Grusendorf, Moses, Davis, Williams, and Foster. The report was signed by Terrio, co-chair. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 85 be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Finance Committee substitute in front of us. Madam Clerk, are there amendments?
Amendment number 1 by Representative Ogden, beginning page 5, line 25.
Representative Ogden.
Move amendment number 1.
There is objection. Representative Ogden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 1 would put local municipalities in the loop. If there was a, I believe that teachers should be accountable to local governments as well as the state, and if there's some serious problems that need to be disciplined, that this would allow that to happen. Thank you.
Representative Dyson?
Read the
ease,
please.
Read the ease. Representative Logan?
Mr. Speaker, I withdraw amendment number 1.
Amendment number 1 has been withdrawn. Madam Clerk.
Amendment number 2 by Representative Ogden to page 5, line 25.
Representative Ogden?
Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number 2.
There is objection. Representative Ogden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We inserted the word continued between substantial and noncompliance because a lot of times there are violations of policy that might not be considered a substantial violation, but maybe a somebody with an attitude continues to do it in spite of the attention that's brought to it. And if it continues, I think it would merit attention. Thank you.
Representative Kroc?
Speaker, it's odd to get on the other end of this amendment cycle. I'm not used to it, so I'm used to proposing rather than opposing. Just had a brief conversation with the Attorney General that handles this area of the law. As her opinion is unnecessary, and I was trying to understand it here. I mean, substantial modifies noncompliance. It's did you comply with the law or not? I don't think it's a level of are they important ones, but did you violate it or not? A very incidental one. We're talking about serious ones. I think it's already included in the concept we have here, and therefore unnecessary.
Thank you. Representative Davies?
Thank you. And continued by itself, not modified by substantial, could mean something that was trivial in its total as well. So it doesn't rise to the standard. So just because it's continued doesn't mean it's substantial. So I think that it's continued violation that is a problem, is substantial, and is covered already. Continued violation that is trivial could be covered by this unintentionally, and so I speak against it.
Representative Davies. Representative Dyson?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe all the previous speakers are right. I think that what this amendment does is already covered, but I think it does no harm. And I'm delighted to humor my good friend from District 27. Thank you.
Further discussion of Amendment Number 2. Ready for the question? The question before the body is, shall Amendment Number 2 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk. Has every member voted? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
7 yeas, 27 nays.
So Amendment Number 2 has failed to pass the House. Amendment Number 3.
Amendment Number 3 by Representative Ogun to page 5, line 22.
Representative Ogun.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Amendment Number 3.
There is objection. Representative Ogun.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This adds to the description of incompetency. A teacher that impedes a student's ability to receive level education prescribed under state law. I would certainly think that we would want a teacher that's not fully helping a student's ability should be ruled incompetent, and would like this description added onto it. Thank you.
Representative Bryce?
It's redundant all over again. Line 21 of the bill on page 5 specifically states, and may I read, Mr. Speaker?
Without objection.
Teacher's customary duties in a satisfactory manner. If the teacher is unable to teach students in a satisfactory manner, then obviously they're not doing what Amendment Number 3 wants to do. So basically, all we're doing in Amendment Number 3 is restating the obvious of what's already in the bill.
Representative Croft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I'm getting the hang of this. On page 5, line 22, I'm worried about where it's fit into the sentence, and if I can read it all together as it would be with this amendment. Incompetency, which is defined as the inability or the unintentional or intentional failure to perform the teacher's customary teaching duties in a satisfactory manner, or impede a student's ability to receive the level of education prescribed under state law. In other words, if you fail to impede the student's ability, you're incompetent. I don't think that's what we need. I think we mean the opposite. But the, but what it's modifying here is the phrase, the failure to, and then if you take out the middle part, incompetency would be the failure to impede a student's ability to receive the level of education. I think we mean the opposite. So not only does this is this redundant all over again, I think it actually puts a silly standard into our law.
Representative Davies?
Thank you. The other issue, too, I think, is that the issue of incompetency is an issue that has been tried in the courts many times, and there are court decisions that have refined that notion, and to add this to that would just simply confuse the case law on the matter. And so I think it's not only unnecessary because it's redundant, but it would cause unnecessary confusion in future court decisions.
Representative Hogan.
Mr. Speaker, we have put into state law that when kids graduate from high school, in order to get a certificate, they have to read and write, do arithmetic, novel concept. I've heard a lot of folks in the business community. We had a gal that came to talk to the Palmer Chamber of Commerce that was a school-to-work coordinator, and she asked a question, what can we do to help kids go to work after they get out of school? And unanimously, everyone there, just about unanimously, said, give us kids that can read and write. Give us kids that can count change, you know, when they're working for us at the stores. So in response to that, the legislature has passed some standards that will be in place the year that my son graduates from high school. I'm glad we did that, because I remind my son, you know, you have to pass a test now to get out of school. And if we have teachers that do not teach to the level according to what's prescribed under state law, in my opinion, they're incompetent. And, you know, we passed a teacher tenure bill 2 years ago that allowed teachers actually to be removed for incompetence now, theoretically. Unfortunately, most of the principals that are overseeing the schools rise from the ranks of being a teacher and are in organized labor themselves. So I'm just looking for some more accountability here. If they won't have the backbone to do it on a local level, which I've been frustrated with my local level, then maybe the state will do it. Thank you.
Further discussion?
Thank you. I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker. I just on that point, and we're just looking at these now. I mean, if we put in this section as it currently reads, they'll question our ability to read and write. It will say, in just taking out all the extra verbiage, incompetence is the failure to impede a student's ability to receive the level of education prescribed by state law. That's just not effective communication.
In response, leave it is. Would the House please come back to order? Representative Hogan?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Like the member in the minority behind me that isn't used to defending amendments, we're not exactly used to offering them. So in the spirit of the learning curve, I shall withdraw amendment number 3.
Amendment number 3 is withdrawn. Madam Clerk.
Amendment number 4 by Representative Hogan to page 5, line 18.
Representative Hogan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number 4.
There is objection. Representative Hogan.
For all the reasons that members from the minority and other people objected to the previous 3 amendments, saying that we didn't need it, it's all covered, then let's say that the commissioner or the Educator Ethics Commission shall take disciplinary actions when these things are violated. If we're not going to amend the things that these folks violate to make them stronger, then let's make the statement that if they do violate this, that they will take disciplinary action. Now, that disciplinary action doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to lose their teaching certificate, or I think that terminology has been changed in the bill, but it could be a letter in the record or anything else. But let's make sure if there's a problem that it's taken care of. It's called accountability in education.
Representative Bryce?
And I think what we end up doing is running afoul if the local school district or the building administrator has taken action or has provided some form of punishment or what have you for the actions that we've stated here, in which case I don't know whether or not you're setting up a double jeopardy standard where guys getting punished twice for one act. I don't know whether or not we're going down that avenue, but I think we would preclude local ability to take action in that case.
Any further discussion of amendment number 4? Representative Dyson?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, I reluctantly have to take exception to this one. And it's very well intended, and I appreciate the sponsor's goal here. I served 3+ years on the State Human Rights Commission, and without the ability to do some triage, you know, with the workloads that most of these commissions have, they just get overwhelmed. And certainly unscrupulous folks could start to destroy this process by just overloading the commission, you know, with work. I'm pretty impressed with the work of the Teacher Ethics Commission and what they're doing, and I think that they can handle the discretion that we've left for them here. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Dyson. Representative Hudson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I'm trying to figure out by using the word shall as opposed to may and then referring on over to 375 and saying that they shall take the action in 375, and yet all of the disciplinary actions in 375 are all may as opposed to shall. And I'm wondering what we've really done by amending this, because all the actions, suspending the license, revoking or suspending the license, taking disciplinary action, all indicates that the commission may revoke or suspend, may take the following disciplinary action, and I'm wondering whether or not, you know, this really applies correctly.
Representative Hudson. Representative Hogan?
In wrap up, in response to the last speaker, I think it says that if there's a problem, that they'll take some disciplinary action. They shall take disciplinary action. And clearly the statute allows a disciplinary action to be their option what that is, but we're simply saying if there's a problem, it's serious enough to be brought to their attention that they will act on it.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The fact is that the commission, and it reads either the commissioner or the ethics commission may do this, and so either one of them, so there's even a check on that. The fact is that they do take action, and they review a number of issues every year, and almost every single year they take some action. So that I don't think there's any evidence that they are not taking appropriate action in the first place. In the second place, it's just kind of a logical inconsistency. It almost is saying that whether or not these things occur, you have to take some action. And I think that the present wording is the correct wording and has worked, and there's no problem. I'll just leave it alone.
Further discussion of amendment number 4. Question before the body. Shall amendment number 4 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
2 yeas, 32 nays.
And so amendment number 4 has failed to pass the House. Amendment number 5.
Amendment number 5 by Representative Dyson on page 12, following line 10.
Representative Dyson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is move amendment number 5.
There is objection. Go ahead, Representative Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. This was given to me by the commission, and they agree with it, and I would encourage support of the amendment.
Any further discussion of amendment number 5? Leave it easy.
Back to order.
Any further discussion of amendment number 5? Ready for the question? Question before the body. Shall amendment number 5 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
34 yeas, 0 nays.
And so amendment number 5 has passed the House. Are there any other amendments on the...
I have no further amendments on my desk.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 85, Finance, be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place on final passage.
Without objection, we are in third. Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 85, Finance, amended by the House Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Licensure and Professional Discipline of Members of the Teaching Profession, and providing for related penalties relating to grounds for dismissal of a teacher relating to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission, relating to limited immunity for procedures under the Educator Ethics Act, making conforming amendments, and providing for an effective date.
Discussion. Representative Dyson?
Vote yes.
Any further discussion? Question. Question before the body. Shall committee substitute for HB 85 Finance pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Will the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk? Has everyone voted? Now, would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
34 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, committee substitute for HB 85 Finance amended has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill 85 Finance amended be considered the roll call vote and effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
There are citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations on today's calendar are approved. Representative Terrio.
I'd like to take up reconsideration on Senate Bill 146.
Reconsideration has been given on...
No, I'd like to take it up.
Being asked to be taken up on 146. Representative Terrio.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we be allowed to return to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment, that being amendment number 1.
Representative Terrio, can you get closer to your speaker?
I
thought it was just me.
Move and ask unanimous consent that we be allowed to return to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment, that being amendment number 1.
Briefities. To order. Mr. Minority Leader?
I object to returning to second.
There is objection to returning to second. The clerk, please prepare the board. We have prepared the board. The motion before the body is the returning to second reading for the purposes of a consideration of a specific amendment, that amendment number 1. Representative Cherio. Representative
Cherio. Speaker, the purpose for going back to consider this amendment is that when we had this bill in finance, we did pass an amendment. The amendment read age 11. However, in sending that down to legal for drafting, we told them the amendment number 1 passed. They did not know that we had changed the number to 11. So the bill that came up, my staff and I did not catch it. It did not reflect the action that was taken by finance. Going back and considering passing this amendment would take us back to the action that was actually passed or taken and passed by finance.
Representative Davies?
I concur in that explanation.
My golly, thank you. Representative, Mr. Minority Leader.
I just like the typo. That's why I want to stay here.
I see. The motion before the body is to return. We have a brief of these. The House, please come back to order, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to place a call on the House.
Get a call placed on the House. Have a brief at ease until the call is satisfied. Order. Mr. Majority Leader, would you lift the call?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will move the call.
Mr. Minority Leader.
And I withdraw the objection.
Thank you. With the objection withdrawn, we are in second reading for the purposes of the consideration of a specific amendment, that being amendment number one. Representative Cherio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I mentioned previously, adoption of this amendment.
Would you move the amendment?
I will move amendment number one.
Without objection, amendment number one is passed. Returns us to reconsideration. House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for SB 146 Finance. Is there discussion? Are you ready for the question? The question before the body is, shall, under reconsideration, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for SB 146 Finance amended pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
25 yeas, 13 nays.
And so, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for SB 146 Finance amended House has passed the House under reconsideration. Mr. Majority Leader, is there
an effective date clause?
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move the effective date clause.
Effective date clause has been moved. Question before the body is, shall the effective date clause on SB 146 pass? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
27 yeas, 11 nays.
So the effective date clause is adopted. Mr. Majority Leader?
Mr. Speaker, I wish to take up reconsideration of Senate Bill 98 at this time. And Mr. Speaker, I would move that the House return to second reading for the purpose of rescinding its earlier action adopting amendment number 2.
Brief it is. The House, please come back to order. Motion before the body is returned to second reading for the purposes of a rescinding action on an amendment. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
So we have returned to second reading. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House rescind from its earlier action of adopting amendment number 2.
Any discussion?
Could we leave that explanation?
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Earlier we adopted number 2. It was a handwritten amendment that was offered by Representative Osterman, and we would like to
member from Kodiak, I believe.
Pardon?
The member from Kodiak, yes.
I'm sorry. Please excuse me. The member from Kodiak. And there was a technical problem with it, and so the proposal would be that we would rescind from our action, rescind from that vote, reoffer the proper amendment, and go back to it's just a correction process.
Speaker, I don't have a new amendment.
Motion before the body is to rescind our previous action in adopting amendment number 2. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
38 yeas, 0 nays.
And so we have rescinded our action in passing amendment number 2. Representative Osterman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will withdraw amendment number 2.
Amendment number 2 is without objection, amendment number 2 is withdrawn. Mr. Majority Leader?
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment.
That being amendment number 3?
Amendment. Yes.
Motion before the body is to return to second reading for the consideration of amendment number 3. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
38 yeas, 0 nays.
So we have returned to second reading for the purposes of that consideration. Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The representative from Kodiak will discuss amendment number 3.
Representative Osterman.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 3.
Amendment number 3 has been moved. Is there objection? Without objection, amendment number 3 is adopted. Returns us to reconsideration of SB 98 amended House. Is there any further discussion? Question before the body, shall SB 98 amended House pass the House under reconsideration? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
31 yeas, 7 nays.
And so SB 98, amended House, has passed the House under reconsideration. Brief at ease. Back to order. All of the preceding activity was actually under unfinished business. Is there any other unfinished business? Seeing none, committee announcements. Representative Mulder.
Speaker, Conference Committee on House Bill 1551 will meet this afternoon, 3:30, in the other body's Finance Committee room. We'll be taking up corrections, public safety, DEC, and revenue.
Representative Jerry.
Mr. Speaker, the regular Finance meeting this afternoon will be delayed till 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, Finance. Representative McCoskey.
Military and Veterans Affairs will meet for a very short meeting tonight at 5 in room 120.
Thank you, Representative Murkowski. Representative Godgill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Committee will have a meeting tomorrow morning at 8:30 to take up
Thank you, Representative Godgill. Any further committee announcements, Representative Mulder?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I forgot to mention also this evening, the Finance Committee will be taking public testimony on a long-term financial plan for the state. So I welcome all members' attendance from 5:30 till late.
Thank you, Representative Mulder. I'm sure it will be. Any other committee announcements? Regular announcements? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a majority caucus immediately following the session.
Any other general announcements? Special orders. Representative Rothbard.
Permission to speak on the body on a new home.
Without objection?
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I normally don't, and I'm not sure it's even proper to speak about legislation that's been introduced, but I just wanted to tell the members of the body in this late hour, if they haven't had a chance to read legislation I introduced today, that asks that the legislative Council establish an RFP process for a new legislative hall. It's intended to be a competitive type of arrangement where any municipality of over 30,000 people in the state, including Juneau, Fairbanks, Mattsu, Kenai, and Anchorage, if they so desired, could respond to an RFP to provide a new legislative home, whereas the rent would be $1 a year. In other words, build it and they will come. The reason I've introduced this legislation this time is to have some further discussions on it. I do believe that we do need a new building in which to operate in, and that's the reason I introduced the legislation. And I just wanted to draw the attention of body.
Representative Croft?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On winner by a nose?
Without objection.
And following the announcement by the previous speaker, I just wanted to announce the results. We're almost to the end of the introduce the most bills sweepstake. That puts the prior speaker firmly in the lead with 16 bills or resolutions. There was some competition by the gentleman to my right, but I think with this new bill, the representative from District 11 is firmly in the lead.
Representative Croft. Ms. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the House turn to adjournment to 10 a.m. Friday, May 14th.
See you tomorrow. See you.